When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the United Stand. I am Beth, and I'm here for your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Thank you, everybody, for getting in the show. But on today's show, there is Maynou's transfer plea. Really likes the idea of going to Napoli. Napoli are very interested in him. Reuniting with Scott McTominay, with Rasmus Højlund, is that where Manchester United players go to revive their careers and get back off the mark? Well, it's working for Scott McTominay. It's massively working for Scott McTominay. And it's starting to work for Rasmus Højlund as well. Kobbie Mainoo wants that move. Should we let him go, or is Amorim still going to block it? Also, Ruben Neves on the list for Manchester United as a midfield option. Currently playing in Saudi Arabia. When I saw this come out this morning, I thought, isn't Ruben Neves like 35? He's still only 28. I mean, 28 is not exactly really young in footballing terms, but you still got a good few years left in you. Is that something you would do? Or is it again just a stopgap for Manchester United? And should we be looking at bigger targets? Also, I want to touch on Fabrizio Romano saying that Ruben Amorim would like a new winger slash number 10. I want someone to love me the way that Ruben Amorim loves number 10s, because I mean, I'm all for it if it means bringing Semenyo in. So maybe that is slightly hypocritical in that sense. But for me, I look at it and I go, do we need another number 10? It's not top of the list. It really isn't top of the list. And then also, Tchouaméni transfer requests and Luke Shaw's future. Luke Shaw, there's more talk coming in about him as well. Someone's knocking at the door in our studio. Someone needs to go and answer that. Sorry, guys, I'm getting a bit distracted. Someone's trying to get in. All right, never mind, guys. It's being handled. Sorry about that, everyone. Really, really sorry about that. But yeah, Tchouaméni, transfer request. There's more news coming out from Spain this morning that Amorim really likes the player. What do we think? A bit too injury prone, we talked about earlier on in the week, but we'll talk about it again, because if you could keep him fit, he would be absolutely fantastic for Manchester United midfield. Thank you very much for everyone getting your comments in already, smashing a like on the video. How are we feeling this Thursday morning? Have you got a tea? Have you got a coffee? What other drink do you wake up to in the morning? Have you already been up since like 5 a.m, you know, getting up early? Getting it in while it's still dark outside. Can't believe it, how freezing it is at the moment. How are you starting off your day? You excited for football being back? You excited for Manchester United coming back? Monday night, we've got to wait till. But it is Monday night football, and I am so excited to be back at Old Trafford. And I have a feeling we're gonna play a good game on that one. So yeah, maybe we'll look ahead a little bit to that game against Everton as well. But let's get into the first bit of news that is coming out, and it is coming from Gazzetta over in Italy, so quite a decent Italian source. Kobbie Mainoo is very keen on making the move to Napoli, driven by the desire to reunite with familiar faces Rasmus Højlund and Scott McTominay. I want to put a poll in straight away. Would you sell, and I'm not even talking about a loan, Would you sell Kobbie Mainoo to Napoli? I have made my stance very clear on this one. However, if Amorim is going to continue to not want to go to Mainoo, to not want to utilise Mainoo, then there really does need to be a discussion to be had, because how much money could you get in for Mainoo? It is pure profit. Would you sell him? And I'm not going to go into it for the 1500th time about how much I rate Mainoo and how much, if I was Ruben Amorim, I would keep him. And I would be devastated to see him go. I do think he'd do really well elsewhere, and I think it'd come back to haunt us. I think he's that good. I've spoken about it multiple times. It's one of the things that Amorim does that I disagree with. I don't agree with his opinion on Kobbie Mainoo. I think he should be playing more. There is this theory within the fan base, which I actually played a part into. And sometimes, you know, when you want something, it makes you believe it more. You know the term, you just want to believe that. Because you want it to happen, you're thinking that. And for me, that is what a lot of the fan base has done with Kobbie Mainoo. And I hope it does turn out to be a theory that is right, but I believed it at the start as well. Ruben Amorim's just testing Kobbie Mainoo. This is what top managers do. Young players, they see what they're made of. He's seen if he can get through this spell of being on the sidelines. He wants him to go away and he wants him to train really hard to get into the team. He wants him to work on a few attributes to get himself into the team. And he's just testing him, and he is going to be Bruno Fernandes' successor in the midfield. When Bruno Fernandes goes to Saudi or moves on to a different European club, because that could be on the cards as well, we don't actually know what's going to happen with Bruno Fernandes. He wants Kobbie Mainoo to be the successor. It's just for now, because Bruno's captain and because Bruno's Amorim's guy, and that's where Kobbie plays. As soon as Bruno departs, Kobbie Mainoo will take over, and he's done all this legwork. He's been in the background. He's been the, you know, the, when you have the master and the apprentice, you have Bruno as the master and you have Kobbie Mainoo as the apprentice. He's done that dynamic and now he can take over. They are different players in the way that they play, but they play the same position. However, I'm not too sure on that. I used to want to believe it, but then when you get linked to potential Bruno Fernandes replacements, why do you need a Bruno Fernandes replacement if Kobbie Mainoo is going to be the replacement? When he is coming on after Mason Mount, after Manuel Ugarte, he's currently Ruben Amorim's last choice midfielder. And just based on substitute appearances and starts for Manchester United, Kobbie Mainoo this season is Amorim's last choice first team midfielder currently. So if you really were invested into a player, surely you would be at least giving them just a little bit more game time. I think we would see him a bit more. He has spoken publicly about him saying he deserves to play more from what he's doing in training. And that kind of made me think, oh, you know what, maybe Kobbie Mainoo has got a chance. And I do think Ruben Amorim has proved you always have a chance under him by the way he's treated Casemiro. Casemiro was below the pecking order even after Toby Collier, Amorim's own words, and now he's one of the first names on the team sheet. But Casemiro also is very experienced. He's won multiple Champions League. He's been around the block. He's got a massive amount of respect in the game. I mean, you saw Bruno Guimarães' quotes on the show with Morge yesterday about how much he's respected in the Brazilian national team and just in football in general. So he's a big leader in there. Kobbie Mainoo is a young guy that I just don't think Ruben Amorim fancies his attributes in his system. Hope I'm wrong, and I hope he can come through it, and I hope he does become Bruno's successor in that midfield. But I'm just struggling to see any sort of signs that Amorim is planning for that. He has come on off the bench to replace Bruno a couple of times, but it's not happened enough for me to really buy into it. So would you let him leave? Because if say, for example, a lot of the community, right, a lot of the community would love to have Angelo Stiller. I mean, get in the comments. Would you love to have Angelo Stiller? A lot of the community would love to have Angelo Stiller, I feel like. I mean, I rate Angelo Stiller. I know Goldbridge wants Angelo Stiller. But Angelo Stiller would be coming in my opinion, to play the Bruno Fernandes role. That is taking game time once again away from Kobbie Mainoo. And you've got to have competition for places. You've got to have more than one player per position. But surely if you want Mainoo to be that first choice, you maybe go for a slightly different profile than Angelo Stiller, who would come in and I think would expect to be first choice at Manchester United. You can never expect to be first choice every single game, but the level he's playing at, you would think so. So there's a few signs to me that it's like, is he actually going to be that Bruno Fernandes successor that we all want him to be? And if he's going to have a role next season where he's not necessarily a starter, but he's coming off the bench yet again, there is a player there that you could... I mean, I think when he was playing under Ten Hag, he was a £60-70 million player. I still think he holds that value. I still think Kobbie Mainoo is a £60-70 million player. Absolutely do. But I think you'd struggle to get more than 45 for him in the current climate because he's just not playing games. He's just not playing football. I think you'd probably get max 40 million for him. So his value has decreased because he's not played. And is it worth selling him for that money? It would be pure profit because he's from the academy. It breaks my heart to let go of an academy product that I genuinely do believe if he went to Napoli, he'd go and kill it. I believe if he went to another club, I know multiple clubs interested in him. If he went to a different club, even a club in the Premier League, he would kill it. And I think we would regret it. But if he's not going to play games under Ruben Amorim, we can't have a situation go on forever where it's, let's keep Kobbie Mainoo because he really is a good player, but Amorim don't really want to use him because only one person's going to win in that scenario, and it's either going to be Amorim or it's going to be Kobbie Mainoo. And I'm not saying for 1 second Kobbie Mainoo sat here waiting for Amorim to get sacked, because I don't think he is. He's not that type of professional. But if Amorim did end up getting sacked, then it would probably benefit Kobbie Mainoo in terms of he might get more game time under the new manager because he might like him for his system. If he played a three-man midfield, I absolutely think Kobbie Mainoo would be playing every game. So
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
If that happens, then he could come into the team. But if Amorim is a success here, which I want him to be, I want Ruben Amorim to be a success, and I never want it to be a Amorim versus Mainoo. But if Amorim is a success at Manchester United, will Kobbie Mainoo play a big role? Because I feel like we're in a limbo stage at the moment where it's, when's Mainoo going to get in? And what if he doesn't? Because Amorim just doesn't rate his attributes for his system. And then you've got to make a decision. Are we just going to wait around and hope that Mainoo can get into the team and hope that Amorim suddenly has a change of heart? Or maybe, you know, say if things went wrong with Amorim, then at least we've got Kobbie Mainoo who can play a three-man midfield. I don't think you should think like that as a football club. I think you should think Ruben Amorim's a long-term manager. Ruben Amorim's the project we've got behind. We're expecting him to be our long-term manager for the foreseeable future. So if Kobbie Mainoo isn't getting minutes and he's not going to get minutes, Amorim, let's have a frank conversation. Can you see Kobbie Mainoo being a starter in your team within the next year? Well, if he does this and this, then maybe. Can you see him currently? In his current state and where you think his potential is at, do you think he's going to be a starter within the next year? Not sure. Then you'd probably look to sell him for his own career because he's too good to be sat rotting away on the bench. He really is. He's too good. I want to see Kobbie Mainoo play football. I miss seeing Kobbie Mainoo play football. So he's too good to be on the bench, in my opinion. He deserves to play games every week. And Man United would benefit from the money that's coming in from him. So it's an interesting one. I mean, him and Scott McTominay playing together and killing it in Serie A in Napoli would be an exciting thing to kind of witness. Rasmus Højlund's kind of had a decent start to his Napoli career. But you wouldn't see him play regular football unless you're watching Serie A week in, week out. But I would really, really like to see Kobbie Mainoo, if he left Manchester United, stay in the Premier League, just so I could watch more often. I do like to watch teams in different leagues, but I don't always get the opportunity. I near enough watch every Premier League game, at least the highlights every week, and then I'll watch a lot of Premier League over the weekend. So you would get to see him a bit more that way. But ideally, in an ideal world for me, and I'm going to come to the poll in a second, in an ideal world for me, Kobbie Mainoo would go on loan from January until the end of the season, and you would see him for what he is, which is a top player, and then Amorim kind of thinks, you know what, can get something out of him. I think I need to give him a chance. He comes back to Manchester United in the summer. He has a fantastic pre-season because I think it's quite... I mean, the chances are very, very slim he'd get picked for England, even if he does really well from January until the summer. Thomas Tuchel's quite settled with his picks currently in that England squad. You've got Elliot Anderson, you've got Adam Wharton, you've got Jude Bellingham. I know he's more of a forward midfielder, but still can play in midfield. You've got Declan Rice. I mean, he's taken Jordan Henderson, which personally I wouldn't be doing, but he's done it for the experience levels. I think Kobbie Mainoo would find it difficult to go to England anyway. If he does really well on loan from January till the summer, then Amorim could have a full pre-season with him and he could really hit the ground running next season and he could make it his. That's my dream scenario for Kobbie Mainoo. But is a club like Napoli going to be comfortable with a straight loan with no option to buy between January and the summer? I don't think so. He would have to be a club that is willing to say, look, we just want a straight loan. We just want a straight loan, January to the summer, maybe a cheap deal. Kobbie Mainoo's wage is pretty small in comparison to the other players in our squad as well. I'm pretty sure Kobbie Mainoo's on around 40 grand a week or something like that. Most Premier League clubs could cover that. So alone in that aspect where a club is crying out for a bit more quality in their midfield, but they've not got the biggest budget in the world, that could work really well for Kobbie Mainoo to go and tear it up in the Prem. For example, do you remember when... I mean, it didn't end up working out, but do you remember when Jesse Lingard went on loan to West Ham from January until the summer and he was genuinely knocking on the door to go to England because he played that well in that loan period? That's what I'd kind of want from Kobbie Mainoo. That's what I'd love to see for Kobbie Mainoo. I'd love to see Kobbie Mainoo do a Jesse Lingard where he goes to maybe a West Ham, or West Ham are not the same West Ham as they were then, like a mid-table club potentially, goes and does really, really well, knocking on the door for England. But I think Jesse Lingard just ended up missing out, and I don't know if Kobbie Mainoo would make it, but knocking on the door, people are asking the question. They've got videos on TalkSport coming out in the morning with two people going at it, why Kobbie Mainoo should go to the World Cup. That's what I want to see in 6 months' time for Kobbie Mainoo. But instead of when Jesse Lingard ended up staying and it didn't work out for him, and then he ended up just not working out, he went to Forest and didn't work out, Kobbie Mainoo takes that time period, he will be at a younger age. He's 20 years old, Kobbie Mainoo. I think Jesse Lingard at the time was like 28 or something around that mark. He's 20 years old, takes that experience, uses it in the pre-season and goes in and smashes it for Man United next season. That's what I kind of want to see happen to Kobbie Mainoo. But let me know, would you sell Kobbie Mainoo to Napoli, yes or no? I'm just going to put a no in there because I don't want to see him leave. I want to see him go on loan. And the majority of you guys so far have gone 57% no and 43% yes. So there's definitely some debate to be had, but I think the majority of our community still thinks there's more to come from Kobbie Mainoo and doesn't want to give up on that prospect yet. And I'm absolutely on that track with you guys. The no, the 57%, I feel it. It's one of them where you're just not quite ready to let go. You're just not quite ready to let go. You can see the vision. You had an idea in your head of how this is going to work out and you're just not ready to let that dream go. It happens in life all the time. And I still think we can make it work with Cobbie. So I'm really hoping he gets that loan move in January. I don't know if he will. I hope he goes and shows what he's about. And I hope that Amorim and Cobbie Mainoo can make it work. I really do. It's like, I mean, it's like a relationship, isn't it? It's like a relationship. I don't want to let you go yet. We can be something. We can. And I feel like with Cobbie, we would regret it. You know, one of them, you'd regret it if he went off and did really well. And he is literally Manchester born and bred from the academy and he's already had some special moments at 20 years old. So I wanted to give both sides of the coin because there is money to be made from Cobbie Mainoo. There is money to be made. But we can make money in many other places. Just like with Bruno Fernandes when Saudi was on the table last summer and there was money to be made. We could make money from other places. Last summer, it was Rasmus Højlund, Marcus Rashford's wage being off the books. Alejandro Garnacho was a significant fee coming in of pure profit. Anybody else that we got rid of? Next summer, it'll be a lot of wages going off the books. You don't know what's going to happen with Bruno. You might get a move on the cards, which means I think you'd probably get at least 50 million. I would expect maybe a little bit more. And, you know, there could be other players that go as well. You never know. So there will be money coming in. It doesn't have to be Cobbie Mainoo that departs. And yeah, so let me know. Let me know your thoughts on that. Also, Champions League football is a big one. And this brings me into another topic. I know Semenyo. I mean, I'll get into it. Actually, I'll wait. I'll come to some super chats first and then I'll get in the Semenyo stuff. Because I saw Gobage's video that he dropped from Central Park. By the way, absolutely, I just love New York. I've never been at Christmas time. I've been in like the summer months, but in the spring months, I love New York. I'm so jealous. I think United Stand should go and do United Stand tour over in New York. I mean, please, I would love it. So I watched Gobage's video from Central Park and he was saying, Semenyo, I don't get why people want Semenyo. I'll explain why people want Semenyo. I've already explained it, but I'll do a shorter version of why and how getting him in January could actually mean we have more money for a midfielder in the summer. What? You're spending 65 million and you could have more money for a midfielder. Yeah, because bringing him in could help us get money from the Champions League. Seth says, if he doesn't start next season, then sell because Amorim doesn't like him. No one expected Casemiro to be in our starting lineup, so it could happen for Mainoo. Yeah, maybe just a little bit more time and then you make a decision, maybe a tough decision at the start of next season. Frank Potrus says, I think Mainoo and Xerxes like need to stay and be humble. This won't be the case if we weren't in one competition. They need to work together for more game time. Yeah, I suppose the one game a week does come into consideration. It is really tough to get minutes when it is only one game a week, but still, as a figure like Cobbie Mainoo, if you're working your absolute socks off week in, week out, you've got to see some pathway. You've got to give you something. In life, I feel like we've been having some therapy sessions on these shows, these morning shows, while Mark's not been here, or we've been having some like motivational conversations. But in life, you've got to have some sort of motivation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
you've got to have some sort of light you can see in the future, some sort of goal you are working towards, or else where's the drive? Where's the get up and go? When you get up in the morning, what are you getting up for? What is your drive? What is your ambition? What are you doing in your day to get you to your end goal? And it might just be little steps. But with Kobbie Mainoo, if you want him to train super hard, if you want him to put in all the work and all the effort to be a starter in this team, which Amorim absolutely does want. Apparently, Kobbie Mainoo's been doing separate sessions. He's been doing individual training sessions. He's been working on the stuff that Amorim wants him to. He's had one-on-one conversations with him, and Amorim's given him things to work on to get himself in his best possible shape to be in this team. And Amorim's even said previously, Kobbie Mainoo's a really good player, but I think he can be better. He's putting pressure on him. If he wants Kobbie Mainoo to do the work, you got to give him something to go off. You've got to give him a little bit of encouragement. It's why we live in a rewards-based world. It's why when you do really well at your job, there's companies that have bonuses, that have, you know, rewards, that have, you know, whoever wins a certain, in a certain department gets to go on the company trip at the end of the year. That's why there is rewards in life, because when you're working towards something, whether that be a goal, whether that be an incentive, incentives are massive for people to have that drive. And for Kobbie Mainoo to keep working every single day relentlessly to get in his team, Amorim's just got to show him a little bit of summer. Bit of game time here and there. I'm going to start him. You know what? I'm going to start him against Everton at home. Let's see what he's about. Let's give him an opportunity. He's got to give him something. And some people will say he's getting paid to do it. Some people say, well, he gets paid every week to go and show up. And absolutely, footballers should be 100% professional every single day. And Kobbie Mainoo's goal in his head might be, I just want to be the best version of myself. It's not always an incentive of game time or, you know, money or anything like that. It might just be, I want to be the best possible professional. But whatever drives you, you've got to tap into it. And for Amorim to get even more out of Mainoo, I think he should tap into the fact of give you a bit of game time there. It gives him that encouragement to keep going. Because if you keep, you know, when people say, you know, you're barking up the wrong tree there, when you keep driving and driving and driving and driving and you're just not seeing any signs of getting close to your destination, or you're not given anything in return, it knocks you back a few times. And you've got to be a really strong character to just keep going and keep pushing through and keep pushing through. And some people do that. But you've got to see light at the end of the tunnel. It's with everything in life. Even, you know, when you start going to the gym, when you start eating healthy, when you start to see them small changes in them, when you look into the mirror, that makes you want to go to the gym again and again and again to get in the best possible shape. When you decide you want to take up running or you want to do Hyroxes and you go for a 5K and suddenly, you know, you feel like you're breezing it. I'm going to go do a 10K. Okay, that was really difficult. But the next time you do it, not out of breath at all, my muscles feel really strong, I feel good. It's that dopamine hit that you get, that serotonin where you're like, this has given me some encouragement to keep moving forward, to keep driving. And I think Amorim just needs to give Kobbie Mainoo a little bit of incentive to keep working really, really hard to get into this team. But yeah. I mean, Vincent says, Amorim doesn't owe Kobbie anything. He doesn't, but if Kobbie Mainoo, Amorim sat there saying he should be playing more games and he's the quality of that he is, I just think it'd help from a man management perspective to give him a little bit of encouragement, to be honest with you. That's my take, but you're entitled to say he doesn't owe him anything, and I agree, he doesn't owe him anything. He's Manchester United manager, and he should be doing best what he thinks is the best for Manchester United to win football games and progress. But for me, a fit and firing Kobbie Mainoo absolutely contributes to Manchester United being a better version of themselves. Give him a little bit of encouragement, and I think that would all be a contributing factor. Ashley Jane says, or else you could risk losing him. And then that's at a detriment of Manchester United. So it's about working things in the right way. Ashley Jane says, morning, Beth. I don't think he has been given enough time in the team to be able to prove what a player he can be. Neither do I, honestly. Seth says, if he doesn't start next season, I've done that one. Thank you very much, Seth, for your super chat in there. Thank you for being in a member. Let me get some of more of your chats in as well. Luke Hayden says, no room for sentimentality. When you've just finished 15th in the league, sell him, bring in Addison and Wharton. There are plenty more youth prospects to get behind and he isn't good enough. That is very strong. I don't agree, but you are entitled to your strong opinion. Malopa says, I feel like some people have given up on Mainoo because of his 10-minute cameos where he's not been playing well. What do you expect for the poor kid? Be man of the match and forget Grimsby. That's what I mean. Grimsby was just a... I'm parking that. That was just a horror show. And plus... he was put into a team that isn't even our starting 11. It was a mismatch and a jumble. And I genuinely do believe in that Grimsby game. The reason we were super poor is our heads weren't in the right place, absolutely. The team was massively mixed. And the back line, he switched too many members of his back line and Inanna was an absolute horror show. So I'm not blaming Cobby for the Grimsby game. I know he was in the starting 11, but you know, Messi's been in a starting 11 before and lost. Not maybe against Grimsby, but you never know. And I'm not saying Cobby Mainoo's Messi, but it's not just a one-man team. With the fact of the 10-minute cameos, I agree. It's really tough. As a midfielder, maybe if you're coming on like a winger like Alejandro Garnacho used to do, and he used to take the game by the ball of the horns and you could really see him impacting the game and getting them opportunities in the final third. When you're lightning quick, when you can go at your defence, then you have more of a chance of affecting the game in the last 10, 20 minutes. But as a midfielder coming on to a midfield that's already pretty open midway through a game, it's difficult. When you're not playing regular football, when you're not match sharp, it's difficult. And I think people need to kind of give the benefit of the doubt there. I would judge Cobby Mainoo after 3 games starting. And even that's like a bit early. But I want to see him start 3 games and see what he can do. We're not going to see it though, so I don't think there's any point of discussing it. But yeah, anyway, keep your comments coming in on that. Thank you everyone for getting involved. Smash a like on the video. Also, Premier League football's back. Would Cobby Mainoo start against Everton? Should he start against Everton? We know it's not going to happen. It's going to be Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes. But there's loads of Premier League football to get stuck into on That's Football. You have Burnley versus Chelsea at 12:30 on Saturday. That's going to be a good game. I'm excited to get up and watch that. The first game back of the weekend of the Premier League. Very excited. I will be there. And also, Newcastle versus Man City at St James's Park, 5:30, Saturday night. What a way to kick back off the Premier League while we wait for Manchester United on the Monday. Be there on the watch-alongs on That's Football. And just before that, you get a bit of a taste of football for Bundesliga because you have Mainz versus Hoffenheim, 7:15 stream on That's Football with the 7:30 kickoff. So before the Premier League begins, you have the Bundesliga kicking off on Friday, Mainz versus Hoffenheim, and it's a 7:30 kickoff. Be at the stream for 7:15. Thank you very much, everyone, for kind of getting involved on that on That's Football. I love it when the communities kind of come together, and it's great to see the channels going to new heights, and having that Bundesliga deal is fantastic for everyone in the community. So yeah, get involved. Absolutely get involved. Keel Robinson says, what exactly does Amorim want from a player? I would love that. I would love for Amorim to be in an interview or a press conference and someone to directly ask Amorim, you've spoken about the fact that Cobby Mainoo deserves more game time. You've spoken about how you think he's a good player, but you think he can be better. What does he have to do to start in this team? What does he need to change about his game? What elements of his game needs to change for him to be a successful midfielder to start and warrant a starting place in your 11? I'd love to hear the answer to that. And he'd probably say, "Oh, well, Bruno Fernandes would need to stop playing as well as he is." But I don't know if he'd go over the answer. But I think that would be a bit of a cop out. I would say forget all the players. For Cobby Mainoo to be a starter, What does his game have to be like, and what does he need to change? I would love for him to be asked that. But speaking of midfielders, and this is the thing, like, we've got Cobby there, we're not anywhere on the bench, but we keep getting linked to multiple different midfielders who can play that role. And it's coming a little bit about Ruben Neves. Ben Jacobs has mentioned this on the show before, so I am going to ask Ben about this at 2 p.m. Ben Jacobs back on the show at 2 p.m. by the way. The B&B show is back. Make sure you stay tuned. Al Hilal midfielder, and this is coming in from Caught Offside. Al Hilal midfielder Ruben Neves is keen on a return to the Premier League amid interest from Manchester United, Newcastle and Tottenham. The experienced Portuguese international has previously shone in England with his former club Wolves. We love a Wolves player, don't we? And he's too good to keep playing in Saudi Arabia for much longer. I mean, that's obviously an opinion piece from the writer. As reported, it is an exclusive piece this morning. Neves is now nearing the end of his contract with Al Hilal and could be on the move for just 20 million euros. Not sure if it's exclusive when Ben Jacobs has spoken about it previously, but anyway, it's news coming out. That will surely be appealing to a lot of top clubs that have already been in some contact with the Premier League sides, according to sources. However, one key issue with Ruben Neves is that he currently earns as much as £410,000 a week with Al Hilal and is going to be too expensive for most European clubs. Man United manager Ruben Amorim is also keen on Neves, while Newcastle also continue to monitor his situation, but he'll surely have to reduce his wage demands to make it happen. He's not getting any younger and has been playing at the highest and has not been playing at the highest level in recent years, so might be a bit rusty coming back to the English top flight. Just on Ruben Neves.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
I believe these links, by the way. He's 28 years old, will be 29 in March. Just food for thought in terms of his age. I thought he was much older, to be honest with you. 20 million euros is a really good price. And I absolutely believe that Ruben Amorim likes him. He's Portuguese. You will have seen him a lot. You will have seen him a lot for sure. You will have tracked him and he knows him. So I believe Amorim's interested. I think 20 million euros is... a decent fee for a player of that level. I actually do believe that Ruben Neves is a real quality player. Do I think he'd be a starter? No, but I think he'd come in and do that Christian Eriksen type role that, you know, sometimes starts and plays really well, sometimes he's on the bench. I don't think 28 is too old. I mean, he'd be 29 maybe. It may be by the time we signed him. Depends if we go for January in the summer. It would be January, wouldn't it, if it's the 20 million euro fee. So he'd be 28 when we signed him. I don't think it's too old for 20 million euros, which 20 million euros in pounds, what is that, around 17 million pounds or something? However, but, 410,000 pounds a week is an absolute laughable wage that Manchester United will go absolutely nowhere near for Ruben Neves at 28 years old. So that's why I would rule this out. And Ruben Neves might well be open to... decreasing his wage, but I think the maximum you'd want to pay for a player like Ruben Neves now would be what? 120 grand a week? 150 grand a week, max? He's not going to go from 410 grand a week to 150 grand a week. It's just not going to happen. So I don't think this deal's happening, and I just don't think he'd accept the wage. 20 million euros? Absolutely, I'm there. Ruben Neves is a player. I think he's a good player. I'm going to be so honest. And he's Premier League proven as well. He's got experience under his belt. Might be a bit rusty coming back in, but I think he'd do well. I don't think he's going to accept 150 grand a week wage, which is the max Manchester United could offer for a player in his position. So, yeah, I don't see it happening for that reason. It's a temporary fix, isn't it, as well? It's not long-term. But sometimes them sort of players can really come in clutch for you. They really can. Like, when you've... Stopgaps always gets looked upon as being a bad term, and sometimes it is, and I'd probably say the majority of the time it is. But there can be some stopgaps that are kind of cult heroes and cult favourites. I do believe that. And I think Ruben Neves could come in and do a really good job for Manchester United in a time of need. He could add depth to the midfield. He can play multiple roles in that midfield. And I think he'd be utilised. I think he'd play well. It's just that wage thing. It's the wage thing. And he'd probably give you a good 3 or 4 years as well at 28. Probably would. So I would so be open to that for a little 20 million euro move. I think that'd be absolutely worth it for the quality that you're bringing in. But it's just the wage I don't think we'll ever get past. What is 20 million euros in pounds? I guess 17. Nearly on it. 17.6 million. It's a steal for a player of that quality, really. Mini19 says, Casemiro and Manu in the middle, Bruno 10 with Mbeumo, rotate Cunha and Xerxes up front. Surely that works. Look, Mini, a lot of people would agree with you. We've pushed for that on the fans forum before. However, I think we need to stop talking about Bruno Fernandes playing as a 10. People have cried out for it. People still want it to happen. A lot of fans still believe it's his best position. Ruben Amorim, who loves that system and he's married to that system, does not like Bruno Fernandes in the 10. Because if he liked Bruno Fernandes in the 10, he wouldn't have gone and bought 2 number 10s in the summer. He wants Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. And you might come back to me and say, well, he's only playing Bruno in the midfield because we don't have a midfielder that he likes. If that was the case, you would buy 1 number 10 in the summer and you'd buy 1 midfielder. You wouldn't buy 2. You wouldn't go and buy Cunha. You'd buy Mbeumo and you'd buy a midfielder to go alongside Casemiro or play in there. Ruben Amorim has very specific qualities he wants from his number 10s, and he clearly doesn't like Bruno Fernandes as a 10. He likes him in the midfield. He thinks for his system, Bruno Fernandes' attributes are best suited to the midfield. Of course, he can push him up into a 10. It's not as if he will never play him as a 10 ever in his life there. He can play him as a 10 mid-game. He might switch it up. One game this season, you might see him playing the 10, but he's not started in the 10 yet once this season. And I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't start in the 10 once all season. He likes Mbeumo there. He likes Cunha there. He likes aggressive players in them positions. And he likes Cunha being the ball carrier of that position. And he likes Mbeumo being able to be that lightning quick winger-esque number 10 that can get through defences. He likes that combination. Bruno Fernandes, he likes him to dictate from that midfield. That's what Ruben Amorim's preference is. So he's not gonna play in the 10, to be honest with you. But yeah, that was it on Ruben Neves. Just speaking about number 10s, I know Terry covered this on the show last night, but I wanted to bring it in a little. And it is the Manchester United are looking for a winger / number 10 that is electric, skillful, talented and fast. And that is coming in from Fabrizio Romano. On this bit of news, I was a little bit shocked at first because we've just spent quite a bit of money on 2 number 10s in the summer. But the more I think about it, the more I think this could be a hint at Anton Semenyo. And I don't necessarily think it's the fact that Ruben Amorim wants specifically a number 10, because the forward line is quite fluid in Amorim's system and he likes players that can play in multiple positions. For example, Mbeumo could play anywhere across the front three and he could probably play wing back as well. That's 4 positions that he can play. Cunha, I think, can play 2 positions in that team, absolutely. He can play up front, he can play off the left, and I'm not sure about him off the right, but I'm sure he could play there if needs must. I actually think Cunha could drop into the midfield if needed. He's that aggressive and hungry. I don't think it's best position, but he can do it. I think he could do it. Benjamin Sesko is a striker, and that is it. I do have to admit that. But there's players that in that team that can play in multiple positions. Xerxes can play probably across the front three. There's players that can do it. Manu can play multiple positions. Bruno can play multiple positions. He likes players like that. So I think he's basically probably just looking for another forward. And he wants that forward to be versatile. And with links to Anton Semenyo, it's the Semenyo story so far. Goldbridge was calling this rubbish, but I don't agree. I do think we sat down with Semenyo in March last year, which was what was reported. I know we absolutely did want Mbeumo and Cunha, and they were top choices for us. And I am still very, very happy we got them 2 players, and I wouldn't trade them. I wouldn't trade them. But we would have had more than just two people on the list. I do believe we sat down with Semenyo. I do believe that Ruben Amorim had a meal with him to test out his character. I believe them reports. And I believe that we're interested again and are considering a move for him. But we probably don't have the money to do it, and we don't want to use that money to do it after we've just spent so much money on attackers. However, I think Amorim probably wants another versatile type forward with the Semenyo links happening at the same time. Is it just a coincidence? I think he wants someone who could play across the front three. People have spoken about Semenyo playing as a left wing back. I don't really see it, but I think he could if needs must. And I'm not in absolute shock about it. Because if you think about it, if anything happens to Mbeumo, who would play there? Ahmad. Ahmad is being tailored into being a right wing back. A winger playing as a wing back. He can play there, but you want players who can play multiple different positions, which Ahmad is, that can fill in. Cunha, Mason Mount, got injury problems. I hope he can stay fit. I think he's fantastic, you know that, but got injury problems. Xerxes seems like he's surplus to requirements, even though I think he deserves more of a chance. Sesko is the only striker we've really got at the club. Out and out striker. Xerxes can play there, but he's a 9.5, as he said. Semenyo could solve multiple issues, can play anywhere across the front three. He is quick, he's clinical, and he's a hard worker and could play at wing back if needed on the left. I don't think it'd be somewhere where he plays often, but I think he could do if needs must. So I think he'd be a really, really, really good player to bring in. And I know multiple people will say midfield, midfield, midfield. Unfortunately, Manchester United are in a position where our first choice midfielders or anyone of real, real quality in the midfield is not available in January. You want the money to go and spend on Elliot Anderson? You better be in the Champions League. You want the money to go and buy Carlos Baleba if he's your top pick? Try and be in the Champions League. I think Baleba would come if we weren't in the Champions League, to be honest. But Anderson, absolutely. Wharton, absolutely. Tchouaméni, who we're going to talk about in a minute, who I don't think we'll get. But if we did want to go for him, you're going to have to be in the Champions League. How do you get in the Champions League? You have to get in the top five. It's an absolute dog race to get in that top five. It's so hard to get in the top five in the Premier League now with all the clubs that are competing for it. But we are actually in that race. How do you do?
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuel. Points TC.
That bringing a quality player into the squad in January, Semenyo could help. Semenyo could actually, if we brought in a Semenyo in January, he could actually help get us into the Champions League. He could be the difference between getting in the Champions League because he's a real quality player. And then you've got more money to spend on your top, top midfield targets in the summer. Midfielders that we want are just not available in January. What would you rather do? Do a stopgap who in a year's time you're thinking, oh, we probably shouldn't have gone for them. Probably need another midfielder now. Or do you go for the real deal? This time next year, nobody, I can bet my bottom dollar, I don't want to bet everything because things change in football, but nobody's going to be sat here saying, oh, I wish we didn't sign Semenyo. Semenyo's not very good, is he? Semenyo's class. He's really, really good. So it's not just a stopgap January signing. It's an opportunity in the market where you're bringing someone in who is real, real quality and who will be in and around the starting 11 this time next year. If you go and get a stopgap, hoping they'll help us get Champions League, this time next year, they might not even be in and around the starting 11 and you might be looking to offload them while you're trying to bring in another player in their position. For example, if you went and got a Gallagher, that could be the case. As much as I think Gallagher could do a job, is he going to do a job this time next year? So I think it's something to think about. There's comments coming in. Savage says Lacey can do that. Lacey might get an opportunity and I didn't expect him to do so, but Lacey isn't going to be Semenyo quite yet. He's still pretty young and working his way in. You don't want to put too much pressure on him. CY says Semenyo is class but would not suit the system. One purple patch does not rectify buying someone who plays in a position we don't have in our system. On that, CYU, it's not a purple patch. He was really good last season as well. So he's been doing it for quite a while now. And Mbeumo, literally, you know, I think he's probably best typical position is as a right winger. Does he not suit our system, being our best player? Good quality players play in different positions and can play in multiple positions and have tweaks to their game. And Mbeumo's probably best position in football would be as a right winger. He's playing as a right-sided 10 and he's still playing basically as a right winger linking up with Ahmad on the right-hand side. You know, you can twist and turn these positions a little bit. It's not absolutely set in stone. Navino says Semenyo is better than Mount and he's not going to AFCON. I'd love Gallagher on loan, says Tom McBride. Roll says we don't need him and he's over 60 mil. He is expensive, but spending that 60 mil could get you Champions League football, which, I mean, let me search it now. How much money does our Premier League team get for UCL football? So, okay. This was okay, so you get a fee each time depending on where you get to in the Champions League. So I'm going to use Liverpool as an example for last season. So Liverpool made from where they got to in the Champions League a total of 82.7 million from being in the Champions League. I'd have to get my figures absolutely correct because it depends where you finish in the league, and they obviously finished it as the Premier League winners, and it depends which stage of the Champions League you get to. But you get a lot of money. You get a lot of money for being in the Champions League. For initially getting in, you get a fee, and then for getting past, you know, the knockout stages, you get another fee. For getting to the quarterfinals, you get another fee, and so on and so on. I don't know where Manchester United would get to, but you can really earn a lot of money from getting into the Champions League. So you've already earned that. Basically, you could be in a position where you pay $65 million for Semenyo in January. If it helps getting you in the Champions League, by the time you start playing in the Champions League next season, you get past the knockout stages, you've earned the money back for Semenyo. You could be in that sort of position. And even when you're talking about, maybe it doesn't quite add up to $65 million, the money you get for initially being in the competition and then for getting to the knockout stage, it'll be a large sum of money. Shirt sales, sponsorships. Brands want their sponsor being on a club that's in the Champions League. They want it on United because it's the biggest club in the world. But when you're in the Champions League, you can charge a premium. So brand deals and sponsorship deals go through the roof. Match day revenues, you've got an extra match a week and it's a Champions League game, what a lot of people want to come and watch. The money you would make, it's massive. It's a huge, huge injection of cash for getting into the Champions League. So it's food for thought. If your top quality midfielders aren't available in January, then why not go and get your top quality forward? Because we're looking for a striker to go alongside Sesko anyway. I know Semenyo's not a striker, but he's a quality forward player and Amorim likes to play with versatile forward players. So it's food for thought. Tchouaméni. Someone just said there, Savage says, Semenyo is a brilliant player, no doubt there. I just thought $65 million is a lot for a wing-back. I don't think he'll play wing-back. If it's Liverpool's dream, then we could sabotage it. I think he'll go to Liverpool, if I'm being honest, but I would like to be in the race. Vincent says, Semenyo is best dreamio. It's not as if he's my absolute dream, but what I like at United and what my goal is at United is for us to have top quality players who can play top quality Premier League football. Semenyo ticks that box. Mbeumo ticks that box. Keane ticks that box. Like, players that can play at the top level and are going to come in and you just know are quality. That's what I want. Because you have better players all over the pitch. You're going to do better. Anyway, this is the news that I'll finish up on Tchouaméni. So, it's coming out from Spain that Amorim's side have earmarked Tchouaméni as a serious option and have already submitted a formal proposal worth around $79 million to sign him. The structure of the bid is a $62 million in guaranteed fee plus $17 million in add-ons. Yeah, and I've submitted a fee to buy a Lamborghini tomorrow. Not happened, I'm going to be so honest. However, Real Madrid consider the Frenchman untouchable and have rejected the offer. Although the former AS Monaco star received criticism last term. He's established himself as an undisputed starter in Xabi Alonso's starting 11 this campaign. The Spanish outlet report that despite seeing that opening bid turned down, Man United haven't given up hope of securing Tchouaméni's service and are determined to lure him to Old Trafford. United have also started trying to entice the player to join. The 25-year-old is 6'2" in height, is a defensive midfielder by trait, but is also comfortable in the box-to-box role. Furthermore, he can provide cover in the centre-back position if needed. Tchouaméni is dynamic, technically sound, strong, good in the air, and he has an eye for a long-range pass, making him efficient in that area, and he's also efficient in defensive contributions. He possesses the necessary attributes to flourish in the Premier League, so the Real Madrid star would be a great coup for Manchester United should they eventually manage to purchase him. And do you know what? I agree with all them points. I think he would be great in the Premier League. I think he's a really good option for that system. Can play centre-back if needs must, but I wouldn't be playing him at centre-back. Can play box-to-box, can play the centre defensive midfield, really good in defensive transitions, really good at winning the ball back, really good passing range, technically sound, press-resistant, good long-range passing. I really agree that physical, and I think he'd be a quality player to play in Ruben Aaron's system in that midfield. However, a couple of things I would go off is we've not submitted a proposal worth 79 million. The most we've probably done is knocked on the door and asked, but we've absolutely not submitted a proposal of 79 million. I think someone's pulled that out of. I mean, I don't want to disrespect. If they've got an exclusive and it comes out in the next few days from top tier journalists that, you know, Man United have put together a 79 million proposal to sign Tchouaméni, I'll sit on the show and I'll say, fair play. You are correct, and you have just got a brilliant scoop. I just don't think United have put that bid together, to be honest with you. I don't know where that's been pulled from, but I don't agree with it. But I can imagine that we have got interest in Tchouaméni because he kind of was in and out of Real Madrid's team, and he never really hit the heights that was expected of him, but he is a good quality player, and you can see the quality that is there with him. And he would really suit what Amorim's trying to do. And with Tchouaméni, he is, I'm pretty sure, 25. Yeah, he's 25 years old, so he's at the perfect age to come in. He's got experience behind him. He's won stuff. He's played for one of the biggest clubs in the world. He knows the pressure of putting on that kind of shirt. So I can see why United would be interested in him. He's always been. I've done shows before where I've said Tchouaméni is my top target for midfield. I would love Tchouaméni at United. I wanted him before he went to Real Madrid, but he would be my top target for a midfield if he couldn't get fully settled at Real Madrid. However, I just think it would be difficult to do this deal. And the community mentioned something the other day when we spoke about on the show, which I thought was a great point. Injury. He's had quite a few injury problems with his foot and ankle, which puts me off slightly. We need players that are really fit and ready to be playing every single game, especially when we've got European football. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's not fit physically. I would imagine Tchouaméni is very, very physically fit. I'm talking about fit as in not having injury issues, not being injury prone. I think we take players like Bruno Fernandes for granted sometimes. Just touch wood, never, ever injured. And it's such an important quality to have. And I'm not expecting someone to be bulletproof like Bruno Fernandes is. You know, things happen. You know, players get injured. It does happen. But I like having players that aren't very injury prone. Bruno Fernandes, never injured. Brian Mbeumo seems to have a really good injury record. When he was at the club, Garnacho, as much as didn't end well, never injured, barely. Like players like that you can rely upon week in, week out, it's important to have them in your squad. And with Tchouaméni, I just do think the injuries are a slight put off, to be honest with you, especially when we've had issues with injuries before. But as a player, I really, really like him. But Mr. Miracle has put in a chat. I have a Frenchman in my Discord. I have a Frenchman in my Discord, so I watch all the France games and PSG and Real Madrid. He's like McTominay in midfield, very poor IQ and decision making. When I've watched him, I think he's been really good. But also, we could do with McTominay in our midfield right now. McSauce was untapped potential, I tell you that. I mean, he provided for United on some really, in some really good moments, but what he's done since he's left, fantastic player. See that overhead kick he did? Overhead kick he did for Scotland. What he's done for Napoli, Ballon d'Or. pond or contender, Scott McTominay. So I won't use that to try and discredit Tchouaméni. I do think Tchouaméni is a good player, though. I don't agree with what you've just said. From when I've watched him, I've obviously not watched every Tchouaméni game. You might have watched him way more than me. And if you watch someone more, I would suggest you have, if you've watched all the French games and you watch every game for Real Madrid, I suspect you have watched him more than me. The games I've watched him, I've watched quite a lot of Real Madrid, and I watched him before he went to Real Madrid. I've really, really liked him. Just my personal opinion. But when you have a bigger sample size to go off, players will make mistakes. Of course they will. I think Ricky sent me before, Scott McTominay's overhead kick, the height he hit the ball was 8'3" in the air. Incredible. Really, really is incredible. We've got a super chat in here from Mini 19. This is the best time to play Mainoo. We've got a few games before January window opens. I would love to see Mainoo start getting some game time now, and I think this is a real opportunity to do so, because now, no international break for a while. I think is the next international break March? I think it is. We've got a lot of fixtures, you know, clogging up the Christmas period, which I love. I love loads of games in and around Christmas. I think it, you know, adds to the Christmas spirit. We're going to have to do a little bit of rotation here and there. You know, a lot of Christmas fixtures, and we have got some midweek games. I'd really like to see Mainoo start getting some game time in them. And I would actually like to see him getting some starts as well. I'd like Kobbie Mainoo, within this busy, busy Christmas period, to start getting some game time, and more so, getting some starts in this starting 11. I think that was the opportunity to do so. I'd like to see it. But thank you, everyone, for watching. Idris says, Luke Shaw. Yeah, I can bring in the Luke Shaw stuff another time. It's not too much in it. Just Ruben Amorim basically thinking Luke Shaw is a world-class player, stating he's a world-class player, and it means that Lucho Martinez might have to fight for his spot. I don't think he's automatically going to come back into this team, but let's see. Smash a like on the video if you've not already. Speaking of Christmas, the link to the Christmas jumper is in the description. Have a lovely Thursday, everyone, and please make sure you're back here at 2 p.m. B&B show, Ben Jacobs, is back for all of the latest on Manchester United. Get in the comments if there's any questions you want me to put to him. I'm going to be writing my list in a second. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you then.